Well, everyone, welcome.
Is that water for Alex? I think she's got one. She got her water and her tea. So I was going to pray for Alex before she comes up, and then she'll come and share. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've made. We thank you for truth and light. We thank you for wisdom and insight and how you lead us and guide us and help us and provide for us and protect us and love us and care for us. And part of that, Lord, is these rich, wonderful truths that you've given us. And I pray that as Alex brings this, that you'd help her by your Spirit. You give her clear thoughts and wisdom put into words. I pray that you would use this to bless and build up, strengthen, edify, encourage, to grow all of us. And I pray, Lord, that that your hand would be on Alex with peace and clarity in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Can everyone hear okay? Yeah. Okay, good. I'm sorry, I have a cold, and so I'm hoping I won't be coughing or sniffing, but I'm going to try. Okay, let's pray just one more time. Father, I thank you so much for this time and for my sisters here. Lord, I thank you for what you've done and bringing us into Christ and that we can know you. And that you've given us value and purpose in you. And I just pray, Lord, that what I have to share this morning would be a blessing to my sisters. Father, that we would understand the realities that I'm sharing here that probably all of my sisters here already know, that there would be a depth and a reality of these realities in our hearts, that we would be transformed, that we would live all the more for your glory, that we would reflect your beauty in our lives. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Leah asked me to share on true beauty, which I did a Bible study on true beauty in Nicaragua, and Leah heard that, and that's why she asked me to share on it here. But this is totally different because my purpose there was totally different than what I feel like the sisters here need. And so I totally did something completely different, and I hope that it will bless you all. So thinking about beauty, beauty is what makes someone or something attractive or desirable. It's not an objective thing, but it's a subjective thing, meaning that there are different opinions on what is beautiful when we're thinking about external beauty. And it seems like in women, there's an innate desire to be beautiful. And we want others to think highly of us, to desire us, to show us attention, to think we're attractive, or we simply want to fit in. And so we feel a pull to appear a certain way, whatever that might be, for the sake of those things. And many times we find self-value and worth in our appearance. And so today what I want to talk about is what I'm calling true beauty. It's a beauty that doesn't fade. It's a beauty that's not vain. It's a beauty that has great worth and value to Christ himself. And I want to focus on these points. What is truly desirable and beautiful to God, who we're living for, our identity in Christ, where our value and worth comes from, and the privilege we have to reflect Christ in this life. And so I honestly don't know the exact struggles different people in this room might have with external beauty and But instead of touching on a lot on external beauty, I'm hardly going to talk about that. And if there's questions after, we can discuss it. But I really wanted to talk about the root of things and internal beauty. And I'm hoping that that will cause us all to strive after the things which Christ finds beautiful and to be more of an aroma of Christ in this lost and dying world. Okay, so number one, what is truly desirable or beautiful to God? And I want to start with 1 Peter 3, 3 through 5. It says, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And so Peter says, do not let your adorning be external. Don't trust in the way you're presenting yourself outwardly, but rather let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So we see that the Lord wants our focus on the heart, on the inner person, and not on the outer person, right? And we see that this beauty is imperishable, meaning it doesn't fade, it lasts forever, whereas outward beauty would be perishable. It is vain, it does pass away. And so this beauty comes from our hearts, from who we are. And here, the beauty that is mentioned is a gentle and quiet spirit. Gentle meaning humble or meek. Quiet, the word means keeping one's seat still and undisturbed. It has this idea of a woman who's trusting in the Lord. And because she's trusting in the Lord, when things are coming at her, she's not responding to them, whether in anxiety or in frustration or in fear or in defensiveness, but rather she's trusting in the Lord and she has a gentle and quiet spirit. And God says this is imperishable beauty. And this is the heart behind true submission. If you look at this verse in the context of it, it's the heart behind all true submission. And Christ says that this is a beauty that won't pass away. And I want to just take an implication from that and say that I think that anything that comes from our heart that has to do with our attitude or our disposition or our character that is like Christ and that is rooted in Christ is truly beautiful to Christ. It's a beauty that doesn't fade, and it's the beauty that Christ wants us to focus on. Okay, my second verse is Proverbs 31:30. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So once again, we see that contrast between external beauty and internal beauty. And so I think the idea, a woman who fears the Lord, if charm is deceitful, fearing the Lord is not deceitful. It's true. It's valuable. If beauty is vain, fearing the Lord is significant. Right? And we want to live for the things that are true and that are significant. And the Lord says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So these are the significant things that we should seek after. And what does it mean, fearing the Lord? Well, just very simple definition, living for the Lord, right? Loving the Lord, living to please the Lord. These are the things that are valuable to God. So God desires women who fear the Lord, who live to please him, who love him. This is significant and truly beautiful to God. Okay. Sorry. Next verse is 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. And it says, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. So here we have a little bit of information about how we should externally adorn ourselves. And just to sum that up, I don't want to go deep into that, but just to sum that up, the idea is that we are adorning ourselves or presenting ourselves in a way that is modest, that fits in. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves. That's the real idea. I'm not dressing myself to get everyone to look at me and say, wow, she's so beautiful, or she's so whatever. We're dressing ourselves in a way that's modest, that doesn't draw attention to ourselves, because we want to draw attention to Christ and not to us. And then it has the same things that we shouldn't adorn ourselves with as in 1 Peter 3, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire. Once again, we're not dressing in a way that's flashy to draw attention to ourselves. And then it says, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. And so we want to adorn ourselves with good works. We want our lives to be such that when people see us, they say, wow, that woman really is like Christ. She's pouring herself out for Christ. She's full of good works. Like Tabitha was full of good works. And we see later in 1 Timothy 2, an example of a widow, and it says she has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the feet of the saints, cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. And so this is the way we want to adorn ourselves, by the love and care and compassion we show to others. It's another way we reflect Christ and so are beautiful to God. And so what I'm calling true beauty, or what I'm saying is truly beautiful to God, is not our external appearance, but more our hearts, when we're living to please him and honor him, when we trust him and when we reflect him, that this is true beauty, lasting beauty. This is what is beautiful to God. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that's where we want our focus to be, right? It's not wrong if we want to dress nice or whatever, but our focus, the thing we should be seeking after, is, and there's different reasons to dress different ways, and like I said, I don't want to get into all that, but our focus should be the heart, right? Okay, number two, who we are living for. Galatians 1:10 says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Okay, so as Christians, we have died to this world, and we now live to please God alone. What a privilege we have that in the most mundane tasks, we can do them to the glory of Christ. We were bought with a price. We are not our own any longer. We work for Christ. We live for Christ. Our life is Christ. We certainly can have temptations to the approval of man, to pleasing man, and yet as we renew our mind and root ourselves in Christ and walk closely with him, we can overcome those temptations and be more and more servants of Christ, living for Christ. And so how does this relate to beauty, to true beauty? Well, because I think that a lot of it has to do with value. We want to find beauty in our external appearance because we want to feel valuable in this world to others. And yet our value really doesn't have to do with how other people think about us, but our value has to do with how God thinks about us. And so we want to live with our eyes on the Lord, our eyes on Christ, living to please him, not living based on what other people think. And I think to one degree or another, we all have temptations to pleasing man. And there's something to fight against so that we can be servants of Christ and please him. Okay, number three is our identity. I'm including this section on identity because our identity, if our identity is not rooted in truth and in Christ, then we will seek to find our identity in something else. Like our appearance, our personality, our interests. So we combat this pull to find our identity somewhere else by knowing and embracing who we are in Christ. So you find a lot of young people seeking to find their identity. Who am I, right? And we really need our identity rooted in Christ and the things that the Bible says about us, or we will try to find our identity somewhere else. And so what does the Bible say about us? The Bible says that the Lord has made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are no longer of this world. You are no longer striving after the things the world strives after, but you now belong to Christ. You are his servant, his daughter, his bride, his friend, and he really loves you. You are his because he has shown his tender mercies, his compassions towards you. He has loved you with a great love. He has shown you kindness upon kindness. He has poured his love into your heart, and he has not spared his only son for your sake. He desires to be with you and to use you in the good works he has prepared for you. You have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and we could go on and on. The Bible has a lot to say about who we are and what we're living for, and we really need to be rooted and grounded in those things so we really are living for those things. If this is who we are, then don't we want to be done living for this world and rather give everything to Christ, that we might bear the most fruit possible for his glory? Okay, number four, our value and worth. And so women of this world seek outward beauty because oftentimes they're seeking to find value and worth in that, in their beauty, in themselves, in the acceptance of others. But we find our value and worth from Christ himself. And so going back to 1 Peter 3, it talked about imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And then it says, which in God's sight is very precious. Think about that. In God's sight is very precious. He looks at people, at women who are trusting in him, and he says, that's really valuable to me. A lot of times I think we can have this sense, at least I feel it in myself, that we're well acquainted with our sin and we feel God's displeasure with our sin and we're wanting to grow. And there is truth, you know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Lord does see our sin, and yet the grace of God is incredible. If you look at Hebrews 11 and how he talks about the people of the Old Testament, like it says, by faith, Sarah believed, she was given power to conceive because she believed God, something like that. And you look back in Genesis and she's laughing because she thinks this is impossible. And then the Lord's assessment is that she believed him. And it's just amazing the grace of the Lord. One thing I've thought about just in raising children, like as you have a kid who's learning how to walk and they take a few steps and then they fall, it's not like you think, oh, you fell, what's wrong with you? Come on. Like you're so excited that they're advancing, that they're taking a few steps, that they're taking a few more steps. And I think as much as the Lord does see our sin and he is in this process of sanctifying us and making us like Christ, so often the Lord also sees our achievements, he sees our progress, and he's pleased with us, and he sees us in Christ, and he really does commend us to where he can say, that's very precious. Like how many of us here really feel like God is looking at us and saying, she's really precious? I don't feel like that, but that's what the scripture says, right? And as we grow in our Christ-likeness, we're becoming more and more that way. And the Lord is seeing us more and more that way. If we think back to Proverbs 31:30, it says, the woman who fears the Lord, she is worthy to be praised. God says that if we are living for God, then he thinks that our life is worthy of praise, is worthy of commendation. I mean, these are huge things if you really feel them, if you really sense them. Outside of these verses specifically having to deal with beauty, in Isaiah, God says, you're precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. There's precious again. In Romans 2, it says that the true Christian's praise is not from man, but from God, meaning that we're not seeking our praise from man, but that God himself is praising us. That's incredible. We know we ought to praise God. He's worthy of praise. And yet Proverbs tells us that if we're fearing the Lord, we're worthy of praise and that our praise is from God. And then we see in Song of Solomon that Christ sees us as beautiful. He sees us as desirable. He desires to hear our voice and see our face. We see in Song of Solomon that he says our love to him is beautiful. In Psalms, it says that God takes pleasure in us. He delights in us. And in Hebrews, it says he's not ashamed of us. And so if we can really be rooted in the value that God has given us, I mean, these things are huge, then we don't need to seek affirmation from others because God himself is affirming us. And it far outweighs any praise or approval that we would receive from man. Okay, and so number five is your privilege. The Lord has not only privileged us to escape from hell and his wrath, to be forgiven of all of our sins, to be in heaven with him for all of eternity, to be adopted as his children. He's also privileged us to reflect him in our short lives here on earth, to make him known, to be the aroma of Christ to God among this world, to be the light of the world, and to be the salt of the earth. This is a privilege that the Lord has given each one of his children. And so may we seek as much of Christ as possible to reflect Christ as much as we possibly can, to live for him with all of who we are, to be consumed with Christ, that Christ would radiate through our lives. I just want you to think about women you've known, Christian women that you've known. Have you ever known a woman who just is so in love with Christ, so filled with Christ, so reflecting of Christ that when you're around her, you just think, she is so beautiful. I want to be like her. That's what we want to be, right? We want to be women who are filled with Christ, in love with Christ, reflecting Christ to display Christ's beauty in this world. And think about the effect that would have on our husbands, on our children, on the church, on the lost world, if we were women like that, that just Christ flowed out of us, right? I'm thinking right now of John 7, where it says that any who come to Christ, he'll make rivers of living water flow out of our heart. And don't we want that more and more? Like, it's a promise. We have it already, and yet we can grow in it more and more. Don't we want that where just Christ flows from our lives? And this is the beauty that we ought to be really seeking after and striving for. So as we reflect Christ, this is true beauty, and this will impact the world around us, both the church and the lost. This is what we want to seek after. The world seeks after outward beauty, attention, glory, fitting in, etc. We want to be people that seek after something far greater. We want to reflect Christ and make him known in the short time we have on this side of eternity. When we live lives sold out for Christ, it will encourage other Christians to do the same simply by seeing our example. And I want to end here with Isaiah 49:3, and there's numerous verses like this in Isaiah, but it says, "And he said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified.'" And that phrase, "in whom I will be glorified," can be translated, "in whom I will display my beauty." And so we are God's servants. We are God's chosen people, and God wants to display his beauty through our lives. And that's what we want. We want God to display his beauty through every aspect of our lives. And we know that the more that Christ is in us, the more that his beauty will be displayed through our lives, right? And so, okay, that went a lot faster than I anticipated, but hopefully we have a lot to discuss here. So does anyone have questions or comments? Yeah.
Becca, hold on.
Hi. So I've been wondering this question for a while. Uh-huh. What does that look like, a woman who fears the Lord? Like, what does that even mean, to fear the Lord? Mm-hmm.
So I think like a very simple definition, which is what I shared here, would be someone who lives to please the Lord, right? I think if you think about fearing man, if someone struggles with fearing man, what is that? It's like we're constantly thinking, what is that person thinking of us? We're living in a way that would please that person. And so if we're living to fear the Lord, we're very mindful of what would please God. And we are conforming our lives to the things that we know that please him, because he is important to us and his opinion of us is important to us. That's how I would describe it. Does anyone else have a better definition of fearing the Lord, or another definition of fearing the Lord? I don't know if that's helpful.
Okay, Alex, you mentioned being rooted and grounded. You use those terms a fair bit. Can you expound on that a little more? What is it to be rooted and grounded? How do you cultivate being rooted and grounded in the truths that you shared?
That's a good question. Okay. Rooted and grounded. I think it's easy to know a lot of truth, but then not to affect our lives. And that's not what we want. We don't just want to know a lot of truth, but then to go on with our lives like normal. Instead, we want that truth to be the soil that affects our life. And so what would that look like? That would look like taking the truth we know and meditating on it. I think meditation is a huge thing. And praying over it, asking the Lord, please make this truth real to me. Please, like, we can read these things about the value and worth that God gives us, but we really need that to affect our hearts, not just know it here in our minds. And so praying, Lord, help me to understand, like, you say that my praise is from you. Like, what does that mean? Until we have a wonder and an awe in our soul. Wow. We need truth to not just stay here, but to hit our hearts. Vess has been preaching a message in Ephesians 3 about praying to know more of the love of Christ. And one thing he said in that message is that in the book of Ephesians, you have a lot of high truth. In Ephesians 1, in Ephesians 2, you have a lot of really glorious truth. And then at the end of Ephesians 1, you have a prayer that the Lord would enlighten our hearts, that the Lord would give us realities of the glorious truth that Paul has just mentioned. And then again in Ephesians 3, you have a prayer that God would give them reality of the glorious truth. And it's like we need God to take the truth we know and it not just be truth, but it impact our lives. And so... I think meditating and praying on truth until it's not just truth, but it's reality for us. I don't know if anyone has anything to add to that. Any other questions or comments?
What was the verse that you said where God praises us?
It's in Romans 2. You know what? My Bible is in the back. I don't have the exact verse written down.
Okay.
Give me just a second, and I'll tell you. Well, you know, the first one would be in Proverbs 31:30 when it says that the woman who fears the Lord is worthy of praise.
Okay.
And then the second one is in Romans 2. Give me just a second. Okay. We'll start in verse 28. It says, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. So that's like the true Christian, right? Mm-hmm. And circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit. That's what happens when we get born again. Not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was just thinking your verse in Galatians about not seeking the approval of man, and I was thinking how it's interesting when we're living for man instead of the Lord as far as pleasing them, it's really bondage and slavery. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about as a teenager and lost, I really was in bondage to that and what an oppressive thing it was.
Yeah.
And then when the Lord saved me, just how he gradually brought me out of that. And even there was a time in college where in this public speaking class, he presented these two sides and I knew the one that was right. And the whole class went to the one side of the room and I was standing all alone. But I don't look back on it as like, oh, that was so embarrassing. I felt such freedom and joy to be able to stand up for something that was true. And just, it's liberty to live for the Lord.
Definitely. The Lord's commandments are so good. And when we can walk in them, they bring so much joy and peace and life to our souls. And I've struggled a lot over the years with the fear of man, and the Lord has broken that bondage over the years, I've been really thankful. One thing that the Lord used was a sister who came to me, because when I was saved, I was really afraid, and I wouldn't talk at all, just out of fear of what people would think about me. And a sister came to me, and she said, well, really, it's an issue of love. Like, you're not loving other people. You're just thinking about yourself. That was really so freeing to me to think, you know, it's not about me and what people think about me. It's about my sisters and the lost and them and what they need and loving them. That really helped me break free from that bondage.
When Becca asked her question, mm-hmm. and you said if there was anything else, I think mm-hmm. she asked about what is it to fear the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me of a verse in Job that struck me, because Job is defending himself in chapter 31, that, you know, he fed the poor and the widow, and he did all these things, and he lived this holy life. Mm-hmm. And then the reason he gives, he said, and because of his, speaking of God, his majesty, I could not do these things. Like, sin. He could not do mm-hmm. sin. It, like, because of God's majesty, it restrained him. And I remember having that same question in my mind, like, what is it to fear God? And thinking kind of what you were saying, where, we receive knowledge, but then how does that affect our life? And then just seeing Job, you know, he had this knowledge of God, and he saw God as, you know, valuable, like as he refers to him as his majesty, and it affected how he lived and what he did and what he didn't do. So that was just mm-hmm. to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's good.
So this message couldn't have come at, like, a better time for me. When I saw the title, I was like, oh, I gotta be there. Recently, I am fairly young, so I do struggle with that thing of, like, self, like, your image and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was at the gym working out, and I was just, like, I struggle with the thought of, like, not being good enough. Mm-hmm. Not that my husband has given me a reason to, but I think I grew up with my sister, and she kind of, and we kind of bounced off one another of, like, oh, well, this, and I wish I didn't have, like, look like this, or I wish I didn't, mm-hmm. If I could change one thing, it would be this. And so it's just kind of how, like, I grew up thinking on those things. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had to get it settled in my soul. So I looked up something on the topic. I forgot. But what the woman had mentioned was, like, how it's not about us. And how she kind of really brought it back to the gospel. And, like, how that's not what we're here for. Like, our whole mission on earth is, like, to glorify God. And one of the things she mentioned was sharing the gospel. And I feel like I can get a lot in my head sometimes, and it kind of distracts me from, like, thinking about others, because I'm just so consumed with, like, you know, what does my husband think about me, and just worried about that stuff. But this is a really good message for me personally, because I struggle with that a lot. And another thing was, like, yeah, like, it matters what the Lord thinks. Like, even if the worst were to happen in my marriage, it still wouldn't be, like, my whole life isn't about my marriage. My whole life is about God and, like, yeah, my actual husband. So that this was a, thank you for sharing that.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I like when Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. And, like, that summation of his life, to live is Christ. And it's so easy for anybody to put something else and to say to live is something else. And yet we need to always bring it back to live as Christ. And we can trust him, and he's kind and good, and so we have the freedom to love and to live for him and to trust him whatever may come. And yeah, so praise the Lord.
Alex, you'd use this phrase in your the first section that you had. Mm-hmm. You said, don't trust in the way you're presenting yourself outwardly. Can you pull that out a little bit more? I know there's some connections already made in the discussion in terms of fear of man and whatnot, but can you draw that out a bit more? Mm-hmm. Don't trust in the way you're presenting yourself outwardly.
Yeah, I think we have a tendency to trust in things other than the Lord, whatever that might be. And I think sometimes I guess it goes back to finding our value. We can find value, like maybe it goes back to fitting in. Like if I present myself a certain way, if people think this way about me, then everything will be okay. We can focus on those things. We can even think that like it has to do with our testimony for Christ. And I know, I mean, there's a sense that everything has to do with our testimony for Christ, but it's like the outward is just not what's important, and we're not bound by the way the world sees things. We're bound by the way the Lord sees things. Maybe somebody, if they were all put together or maybe somebody, if they think like, oh, if I get down to a certain weight, or if I get rid of my wrinkles, or if I look younger, or if I this, or maybe they think like, then I'll really be okay. I don't know the exact struggles of different people and their hearts and their minds, but it's so easy for us to trust in other things, trust in our strength, trust in, and I think we could trust in our outward beauty or our desire for outward beauty. I'm not sure how to answer that question.
No, that's good. I was thinking how, as you're talking, just those things can be for us a source of insecurity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And having that security of knowing who we are in Christ counteracts that.
Right.
But it can be difficult sometimes to live that in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, I just went back to visit my family, and out of anyone, I feel those temptations when I'm with my family, because I feel a lot of pressure when I'm with my family in those ways. And it was like something that I hadn't battled, but then I got there and there were all these thoughts in my mind of all these things, and it was something I had to battle. It was a real battle, but just reminding myself of truth. And I'm sure part of that was I was about to teach this and the Lord just wanted it fresh in my own heart. Reminding myself of truth and seeking to see the Lord, to combat those temptations that were there. You know, that those things don't matter, really. You know, I mean, Proverbs 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. And so, I mean, that's really strong. Deceitful and vain.
Would you have something specific to say to the younger girls that are with us? They're just kind of entering in that sphere where they are more aware of how they dress and styles. And, you know, you go through that season early on where you, mm-hmm. you're going through changes and you can feel insecure. And
yeah, I think a lot of it when you're young has to do with finding out who you are and your identity. You're trying to be seen a certain way and even figure out who you are yourself and find value and fit in. And there's pressure, especially from young people, to fit in. I think it can be really strong at times. And but I think the key is knowing Christ. And because God made you, and that's who you are. Like, if you know Christ, if you're right with the Lord, that's who you are, and that's where you're going to find your identity, and everything else will flow out of that, being secure in Christ. I mean, it's the same thing. I think just as a young person, you feel more pressure, and you're trying to figure things out, where when you're older, maybe you've got a little bit more figured out already as far as how you're thinking about things. But just really seeking Christ instead of seeking to be accepted or seeking to establish some kind of identity for yourself. Really going deep in these things, in these truths that I just mentioned, and really knowing, like, if you are a Christian, then really knowing the Lord's love for you. And if you're not a Christian, then running to Christ, that you can be in that love of Christ and find that security and hiding place and shelter there in the temptations and the fears that you're experiencing. But Leah, why don't you add to that? I'm sure you have more to say.
To the young girls? Oh, I got two daughters of my own there, sitting over there. What would I add to that? I don't know that I'd add anything, Alex. I know that in this world where we walk around seeing everything, you know, we live in a world where we're looking, we're seeing. You see how people are presented. Our culture puts a lot of pressure and emphasis on physical appearance and on staying young, and people that are set up as role models, you know, the physical beauty is kind of usually incorporated into that. Mm-hmm. It's very influential.
Yeah.
But I will say there's something really beautiful about a secure woman.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's like not easily rattled or threatened. Someone who's confident in who she is, like knowing who she is. There's something very beautiful about that. And something that's not so beautiful about the insecure woman who always needs reassurance and is paranoid and all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that groundedness, that true, real, deep security of I know who I am, the Lord,
mm-hmm.
is just like you're teaching, true beauty. And it's gorgeous, mm-hmm. and it's not easily shaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth laying hold of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is more of like a personal experiential question for you. Uh-huh. But as the Lord has made this like a reality, and I know that we're all being, like we're all learning it, and I know it's not perfected, but as the Lord has made this a reality in your life, like practically, how have you seen that change how you, like even as simple as you dress or as you live your life day to day, being a mother, a wife, being part of your local body, like how have you seen the truths that we're learning affect your life? And if you could give maybe like, because I like hearing examples, like even when you went back home and just how you really wrestled with that. So I like to hear the wrestling. And so if you have like practical examples of just over time, how the Lord has, like how you've seen these truths impact your life.
Yeah. Yeah. First, really quick, I just wanted to add one more thing to Leah's question, and then I'm going to answer that. But one thing I thought to share and I didn't was in Isaiah 53:2, it said that Jesus had no majesty or beauty that we should desire him. Does anyone know exactly how it says that? Give me just a second. Um, It says, it's the second part of Isaiah 53:2. It says, he has no form, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him when he came to earth. And I just think that's really interesting, how Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, humbled himself. And of course, he was beautiful in who he was, but there was nothing outwardly that would draw someone's attention or to look at him. He came as a very normal, seemingly, appearingly normal man. And I just think that's interesting. Anyways, I wanted to add that. But as far as your question, how have I grown? Well, I think that my main struggle has not been outward beauty as much as it's been my personality, which I also thought to mention, because it says charm is deceitful, and charm can have to do with how we look, but charm can also have to do with our personalities. Like, maybe you think you need to be bubbly and friendly and warm, and I'm just not that way. I'm awkward and quiet, and I just don't consider that I have the most wonderful personality. And so that's really been my struggle, more than my physical appearance. It's been my personality and feeling very insecure about my personality, which goes back to the exact same issues and same roots in this study. As far as physical, when the Lord first saved me, I was dressing more sensually and things like that, and the Lord convicted me and that changed. And there can be temptations with my family towards certain physical things, but really my main temptations have been with my personality. And I grew up in a family that was very critical of others. And so I felt very insecure about my personality and who I was, which is why I didn't talk before I was saved. And it took me actually years when the Lord saved me to free me from that and to start talking and loving people. Like, the fact that I'm standing up here is totally uncomfortable for me and not at all something I like doing. But but here I am. It took me about 3 years for the Lord to really change me in that area, because it was such a deep insecurity for me that I just thought, if people knew who I was, they would not accept me, and it's better to be quiet. So I was the person who came into church and left and didn't talk to anybody. The Lord really put his hand upon me and just didn't let me be okay with that until I just felt like, I can't do this anymore. And I need to love people and enter into fellowship with the brethren and seek to love the lost. And so there was a big jump that the Lord did in my life about 2 years into the Christian life. And then another big jump about a year later when that sister told me the issue is love and loving others. And the Lord really set me free in big ways. I remember I would go evangelizing just trembling and praying, Lord, help me to speak. Like, it was so hard. But thinking about the eternal souls of people around me, the Lord helped me to open my mouth, and that was the grace of God. And so for me, that's been my issue. and I can still feel insecure at times. But I think exactly what I'm talking about as far as realizing my life is Christ and that I'm not my own anymore. And it's not about me. like when I realize I'm living for something greater, I'm living to further God's kingdom, I'm living to know the Lord, I'm living to glorify him, I'm living to make him known. There are souls that are perishing and going to hell. There are sisters who are struggling, who need help. Like, who am I to feel insecure about my personality? Like, who am I to get so caught up in that I'm not going to love others and seek to? And so, and I think meditating on the love of Christ has been very helpful, because if he loves me, even if I feel my own inadequacies, if he loves me, and it doesn't really matter the response I'm getting from others, because if Christ loves me, it's okay. And going back and meditating on that and praying in that as the motivation for everything, like says in 1 Peter, that his love compels us and controls us. If one has died for all, then we all die. And it's true. Like, if we know the love of Christ for us, then that is motivating to live for him. But if we're stuck in our own insecurities and in our own lives, it's really enslaving, like Bethany said. And it's very hindering. And I've experienced the difference of when I've really struggled and have just been more quiet because of my own insecurities and not sought to love, and how it's unfulfilling and it's discouraging. And at the same time, when I'm pouring myself out, the Lord says, he who waters will himself be watered. And as I'm pouring myself out, experiencing the Lord pouring into me, even though that's uncomfortable for me. And so living by faith and seeking to live for the Lord, because this isn't my life anymore and I'm Christ's servant. So those are my own personal experiences, which don't necessarily have to do so much with outward, but that's where my struggle's been. Yeah.
I like what you said about God's love. I was thinking, just sitting here and thinking on that, how big that is for us. With fear of man, there's that sense of fearing disapproval. And all of us kind of want to be accepted and loved. And we may or may not get that from others. But from the Lord in Christ, we are fully accepted and fully loved. Yeah. Goes back to remembering the gospel. Being anchored, like you said, in the gospel. I'm loved. I'm accepted. If God is for me, who can be against me? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does anyone else have a question or a comment? Do you have anything else that you would want to add that you didn't get to, Alex?
I don't think so. Maybe we could just pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us all here to know your love and to know your approval and to know how you swept us into another realm to live for you. Lord, use us to impact eternity, to impact your kingdom, to help our sisters. Lord, to live for you, fill us with Christ, make us like Christ, and help us to know how we are beautiful to you. Lord, use this study and use these truths to impact our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I do just have one more thing really quick. We were fellowshipping with a family the other day, and the sister was talking about how she was up in the middle of the night and her child had wet the bed and she was cleaning, you know, the mess, and how the Lord gave her grace to do it with a right heart, just with joy. And she just got the sense from the Lord that it was a pleasing aroma to him. And I thought, you know, that's exactly right. You know, when our hearts are right, it pleases the Lord. And so I thought that was special, a special thought.